Welcome back to What Would Father Say here on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew and Father John Gisaldo again joining us from St. Luke. Today we are gonna shift gears a little bit. We're still delving through the pages of our catechism, and we are gonna look probably the next couple of weeks or so on the precepts of the Church. The Catechism lists five. There may be a sixth. We'll see what Father has to say about that. The other thing that I'd like all of you that are listening, we want to open this up to you and to your questions. So, for those of you that would are wondering what would Father say about X, Y, or Z, well, now's your chance to get your answers. So, if you'll send me an email, tom@armorofgodradio.com, or you can go through the contact button on our website, whichever is easier for you, and send in a question. Just put What Would Father Say or WWFS, it's an abbreviation for What Would Father Say, in the subject line, and it'll get over to the correct spot here.
I
And
like that. WWFS.
yeah. I'm the Army guy, so I have to have an acronym for everything.
Yeah, my goodness.
So send those questions in to us. If you've got a burning question that maybe you heard somebody or somebody asked you or somebody in your family who's Catholic or not Catholic, and they got a question, send them
Or
in to us and
sometimes
we'll get
Catholic.
or sometimes Catholic, yeah, Catholic in name only. We will get Father's take on those questions. We'll wrap them up and we'll present those later in the month of August. So, Father, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, Tom McNew.
Again, folks, we are going to dive into the precepts of the Church. And for those of you that are following along in the Catechism, we are at paragraph 2041, 2041. In the second part of our catechism, we're under the section of the Church, Mother, and Teacher. And it's part two. In my catechism, it's page 493. So those of you that are still riding around with the second edition from John Paul II, it's on page 493. So, Father, I guess the best question or best place to start here is, we spent the last couple of months talking about the Ten Commandments, pretty cut and dry. Why do we need the precepts when we already have Ten Commandments?
Well, you start with by saying, remember the Ten Commandments was kind of a mostly what not to do,
Yeah.
except for the first three or four. But remember, being Catholic is something we do. I just met with a lady today or someone today. So, well, I'm Catholic. I've been confirmed, but they don't go to them practicing. So being Catholic is something we do. We have to nurture, but we also have a mother church, and she sets boundaries, and she sets minimums. And the precepts of the church is what the mother church asks each person to do at a minimum. So people understand, these sort of things. And like it says here, as a necessary minimum. So in other words, if you're doing these things, you get a D minus in Catholicism. I mean, you're doing, the generosity is what can I do? The precepts is what's the least I can do? What's the least I can do? How do we nurture our faith? And if it falls below that, your faith will die. We think of our faith as like a fruit. A fruit, and you're supposed to nurture it, care for it, feed it, fertilize it, take out the weeds, that it
Those
can grow
almost
full fruition and bear fruit. Go ahead.
I was going to say those almost sound a little contradictory. By nurturing something, you don't do the least that you
No, yeah,
have
that's
to
right.
do. By nurturing something, you actually spend a great amount of attention. I think about my wife in a garden, and she spends a lot of her attention, out there focusing, nurturing her garden and coaxing the vegetables and the good stuff to grow. But doing the least is not going to help nurture that garden to grow.
But there has to be some cutoff point. If I say I'm a gardener and I never garden, is that true?
Well,
I
no.
mean, well, I just am. I self-identify as a gardener. I come from a long. So Mother Church says that if you're going to call yourself Catholic, you should at least be doing these things. One of the things people ask all the time, what does it take to get to heaven? We hear that all the time. Are you saved? And I think it's a good question. It's the most important question, but it is a nuanced and rich question that involves a lot. What does it look like to be a good husband? Is that, just because you made vows, is that it? I'm in. No.
That's the first part.
But I think a more profound question is, when people ask, what does it take to go to hell? What does it take to go to hell? I want to stay out of hell, which is imperfect, but it's at least a desire, or at least wanting to desire to love and to be a practicing Catholic. Because if you're not a practice, stop calling yourself that. Oh, I'm Catholic, but there's nothing worse than a Catholic but, BUTT, but. Because those are the ones that these Protestants and fundamentalists meet on the sidewalk and go, are you saved? Oh, really? And they're this wishy-washy, non-practicing Catholic who'll still say they're Catholic, but hadn't been to Mass and confession in God only knows how long, let alone studying their faith, immersing themselves in the scriptures and the catechism, that Jesus Christ is the very center of our life where everything is oriented. Or is it just a part of our life, a room in my house? I have other rooms, and I'm an LSU fan. I'm this gender or that, and oh yeah, I'm Catholic. That's just instead of be the operating principle, our faith in Christ, the operating principle of our life. So like if you, Tom, you met a newlywed husband, and he said to you, how many times do I have to talk to my wife a day? Can I just talk to her once? Do I have to talk to her every day? Once, how about once a week?
Yeah, good luck
What's
with
the
that.
least I can do? So it is, we have to draw a line. We have to draw a line somewhere. We're a Catholic, but are you a good Catholic? Are you a practicing Catholic? Are you at least doing the minimum? And it speaks of authority. Are these in the Bible? These are the Ten Commandments. No. No. But Mother Church, like any mother, has a right to say to her children, we eat dinner here every night together. She has that authority. Now, can they go eat in their rooms? Sure. A kid will say that. Why do I have to eat here? What does mother say? Because I said so. Because so parenthood, fathers and mothers have authority. Now, it'd be great if we had all three meals. It'd be great if people came to Mass every day. If we're great, if we were praying with the church every day, the liturgy of the hour, spending an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Well, that's not practical. Okay,
Right.
well, what should I be doing? I'll tell you the least you can do, which you can build from that. And we'll get into that here in a second. Just like with when a kid says to his mom, I'm not eating with you. I'm going to go in my room and eat and get on my phone. You've just committed a sin against of respecting your mother and father. They have authority to make those reasonable precepts, expectations. Some people put quotations, these are rules. Whenever two or more are gathered, they're rules. Whenever two or more are gathered. And these are the, yeah. So these brings up authority, boundaries, parenthood. What is it? And once you lose these, it turns into I'm a Christian. I pray. I pray. That's enough. And who says that they're wrong? Well, as Catholics, we have a line. We have a document. Mother Church says this. And if you're not Catholic, all you have is you. That's all you have.
So
Hey,
where do we
me
is
and Jesus are okay. I talked to him yesterday. Me and Jesus, how do you know that? You're no one in authority. Go ahead, Tom.
So where do we, where does the church derive these from? These
Her
minimum.
tradition, her authority. Yeah, and contemplation and meditation, and what is the church in her wisdom decided that what's least good for her people? We look to authority, like a doctor says you should at least eat a few times a day, because there are Mother Church has asked us to do this for our own growth and love of God and neighbor. Because if we don't do this, our love of God will shrink. Like what you're on, like a man says to you, "Well, I'm only going to talk to my wife once a week." Will his love for his wife grow?
No. There's
No.
no
The
way.
experience has taught us. Experience, we want to, you should be doing more. You should go to mass more than just on holy days of all. You should be, it's best if you go to confession more than once a year. It's best if you go to receive communion more than once a year. You should be contributing something to the needs of the church. But this is the start, the what I would say the springboard. This is a springboard. Do you want to be a saint? When I was teaching junior high, we used to give the kids projects. I want to like a presentation. Remember those? You hated those things. You had to stand up in front of class and give a presentation on. I remember Sister Harriet made us each do a report on a state. Everybody had to give a report on a different state. Well, she gave us a little sheet of paper and said, "This is what it takes to make an A. This is what it takes to make a B. This is what it takes to make a C." And now, sadly, some kids were asked, "What's the least I can do? What can I do to make a C minus?" And there'd be an answer to that. You better do it well. You better do it well, because you might get less than that. But as a Christian, we want to be saints. What can I do to make it an A? This is what it takes to make a D minus. It must be at least doing this. And if you're not doing this, you're making an F, and that's bad.
Not good. Not good.
Not good.
So let's jump in here. So, paragraph 2042
All right, the first one.
is our first precept. I'm going to probably rankle some feathers here, because I don't think this is the minimum you should be doing.
Is the minimum. Right, go ahead.
You shall attend Mass on Sundays and on holy days of obligation and rest from servile labor.
Servile.
Emphasize that point
Yeah.
particularly.
Yeah. I keep reading. Requires the faithful to sanctify the day commemorating the resurrection of the Lord, as well as the principal liturgy feast, honoring the mysteries of the Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the saints in the first place by participating in the Eucharistic celebration, in which the Christian community is gathered, and by resting from those works and activities which could impede such sanctification of these days. So our source and the summit is the Mass. We have to, that's where we begin for baptized Christians. We can't get baptized again. And we have Mass every single day, several times a day. The Mother Church says we will gather once a week, a few hours out of your whole week. You'll participate in the sacrifice of the Mass. Because if you don't, you will spiritually die. And it's not only that's an obligation to the rest of the body of Christ.
That's
Because when the hand is not cannot tell the ear, "I don't need you." The foot cannot tell the eye, "I don't need you." When everybody doesn't show up, the rest of the body of Christ, it's like any family. Again, you show up for dinner, "Where's so and so?" "Well, he's in his room where he couldn't marry. He couldn't make it." When a divorce happens in a family and the kids sit down and dad's not there, dad's not, or mom's not there, that's devastating. The body of Christ is not present. And it shows that Jesus comes first in our life. But if we put things before him, Father Vincent Lambert is he's a exorcist. He says, "You will either follow God, or you will follow somebody else." Who you the Father God, follow God, or you follow somebody else. We don't just do our own thing. No, we follow what we think is important. And then we're worshiping something else. Because giving up a day is a sacrifice. Now, do people have to work on Sunday? We already went over. That's one of the Ten Commandments. And we should make it as hard as we can, make it a day of rest, family, and worship. Because people will worship money. You know, I tell the parents here sometimes, they don't take their kid. Well, he doesn't want to go. He never goes. And so I don't want to force him to go to Mass on Sunday. I said, what if he got up one morning and said, I ain't going to school on Monday? Well, no, he is going to go. What if he doesn't want to? Are you going to force him? Well, he has to go. Well, it shows what you respect. You respect the government, but not Mother Church, because she's not going to send a cop here and enforce it. Or, you know, I know kids that never come to our youth group, because they play select softball every weekend, select volleyball, select basketball. And they're very emphatic about the select part. Yeah. Father, you don't understand. We play select. And they will sacrifice thousands of dollars, hours and hours of travel time.
Your 8-year-old doesn't need to be playing select baseball.
Oh my gosh, the travel teams, they'll go to other states. Now, I knew no families that try to make it a point to get their kids to Mass. And they'll call me, hey, Father, we're in Dallas right now. Where can we, you know, what if he doesn't, his coach won't take him, you know. Everybody worships something. Mm-hmm. Everybody sacrifices for something. And if your Catholic faith has to stand in line. You know, I always use the image of two pickup trucks on a dirt road. Only one dirt road. And they come to who gets out of the way? Who cedes to the who? What did you say?
Yield.
Who yields to the other one? You know, there's nothing. And there's no more heroic teenager who says to his select baseball coach, hey, I can't come to that. I have a holy day of obligation. I have to go to Mass. And he stands up. The real tragedy is when a kid stands up to a Catholic school coach or teacher and says, I can't go to that track meet. We have a confirmation retreat that weekend. And then next thing you know, I'm on the phone with a Catholic coach at a Catholic school saying, well, you know, Father John, their times are going to slow down. That was said to me by a Catholic coach at a Catholic high school. You don't understand that the times are going to go down. This is what
practice.
I'm tempted to cuss. Are you really saying this to me? Are you really saying this to me?
I think a lot of this hits, and we kind of sort of talked about this before too, but I think all this hits on, you know, the sin of pride. And this is all about me, not being theocentric as we should be.
Or also being ashamed about things we should be proud of and being proud of things to be ashamed about. How many of our older people, they miss Mass? Well, we were with family and, we had a party and we were with family. I didn't want to cause trouble. Yeah. What? What? That's when you most say, get me to Mass. I'm Catholic. I know it's not important to you anymore. This is my religion, and I'm not violating it for you. But we're ashamed. We're embarrassed, you know.
We don't want to make things hard.
We don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's Christianity. One of my jobs is to ruffle people's feathers.
And speaking of ruffling people's feathers, the last little phrase here, rest from servile labor.
Servile labor,
So let's define, I think that this is necessary to define what servile labor means.
Well, I think it
means.
Comes from the root word slavery
In
service of the almighty dollar. Now, I understand that this has to be prefaced, that some people have to work on Sundays, but to find a way to get to Mass and even... You know, I worked at Walmart and we were open on Sundays, and I went to my manager, listen, I have to get to Mass and make sure that's That's upfront. Instead of saying, "Hey, I'll be whoever you want me to be. I'll do whatever it takes. I will." And what are you saying? What are you saying? You said God is not number one in my life. I will become a slave for the almighty dollar. Well, I have to provide for my children. Where's your faith? God takes care of me. You'll be fine. Where's your faith in God? He died for you. This is where faith kicks in, and the church desperately tries to accommodate. Desperately tries to accommodate. But I think we have to remember that it is on Sunday, because I think even people, I know people I'll give you an example. I knew someone who ran a restaurant, and they're open all day on Sundays because Sunday is big money.
Big money. A lot of
Big
people come
money.
in. Yep.
Yeah, so you get that lunch crowd after church. But they would work all day Sunday, but they would come to Mass on Wednesday because they thought it was a makeup. We come to Mass on Wednesday. And part of the problem is some priest told them that that was okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. I've told you, we talked about this last time. I remember going to San Antonio and there was a Mexican restaurant. It said open 7 to 7, 7 to 10 every day except Sunday. Sundays for worship and family. They were Pentecostals. They were Catholic, but then they left. Thank God for
For being that witness.
Chick-fil-A, who still making money hand over fist, who
Closed on
teaches
Sunday.
everybody else how to run a fast food and a drive-through, and but the respect there. Yeah, I had a coach when I was coaching junior high and high school. We used to do scouting reports on Saturdays, but most football coaches in the fall, they work every single day. And so he would always say, "No, we're not going to work on Sunday. We will work all day Saturday, and I need you to be with your families on Sunday." Because he took this seriously. Because what are we saying? Now, if you coach college or pro football, you don't get a day off until February or March. You will work every day because millions of dollars are at stake. Now, having said that, when I was in Houston, there was a priest who went to the Houston Texans game and said Mass for the players and the coaches every Sunday. They would
A
bring him
lot of
in.
I was gonna say a lot of the professional, especially baseball teams, it seems, have
Chaplains.
a chaplain or a priest that will provide services for them. Yeah, the last little piece I think of this, because we're down to like 5 minutes here. We barely
Okay.
through the first precept, but I think the last little piece of this here is the days of obligation. And
Yeah.
so talk to us a little bit of the philosophy behind why the church, or let me ask it this way: why in some dioceses a
Yeah.
Thursday will be a holy day of obligation, and other dioceses it's moved to the following Sunday or the Sunday before, as a
No,
case
it's
may
a good
be.
question. It's bishops trying to accommodate people. And to make it easier for people, because they really do think if they make it easier, more people will come. I don't know. That's up like Ascension Thursdays move to. And if there's a holy, there's a, not, okay, so let's, I know we only got a few minutes. Every Sunday is a holy day of obligation. There's like five or six other ones that are holy days of obligation, mostly Marian, Mary, Mother of God, or the Assumption, or Immaculate Conception, which is coming up here. Except that they fall on Saturday or Monday in most dioceses. If they fall on either of those days, it's not a holy day of obligation.
It'll get moved to Sunday.
However, there is one solemnity, no matter where it lands, it's always a holy day of obligation. And that's Christmas, which is, as a priest, exhausting
Oh,
if
I'm sure.
Christmas lands on a Saturday. If it lands on, because you have to have all the Christmas Eves on Friday night, then you have the Saturday, and then you have Sunday masses that they have to come to. And if Christmas lands on a s Monday, oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
Now if
Because you still
Christmas
have to do
lands
the
on a,
Sunday obligation. If
you
Christmas
do.
is on Monday, you still have a Sunday
Yeah.
obligation
However,
for
every
that
once in a
week.
while, Christmas lands on a Sunday. Yay. Sometimes when Christmas lands on a Monday, the fourth Sunday of Advent is like, 12 hours long.
I throw away.
It's a fourth Sunday. But it tells the world this is important to us. Yes, it is a sacrifice. Yes, it is inconvenient. And we're here. When we do things that are inconvenient, we tell the world they mean a lot to us. Now, having said that, you know, some bishops' conferences, they have feast days that are important, like St. Joseph. In some countries, St. Joseph is a holy day of obligation because they have a special devotion to him. They have a special devotion to him. So it depends. There's regional saints that we don't even know about, but in that region, they want people to be there. However, as a parting note, to tell everybody, Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation. It's not even a solemnity. It's not a feast day. It's none of those things. But that's what we get most people on Wednesday.
Yep.
And everybody wants their ashes.
Yeah. A and P Catholics, ashes and palms.
Ashes and palms. That's what they want. I would say even more people come on Ash Wednesday than come on Easter.
Yeah. That's it's baffling to me.
It is.
It is baffling.
Anyway. How we do on time? How we doing?
So we got about a minute and a half here. So you know, any final thoughts here on this first precept, and then we'll pick up the rest of them, or at least the next one on the next
and
week.
To remind people that words like precepts, rules, obligations, any kind of relationship, any kind of marriage, you know, working, there are expectations. Any relationship, there are expectation parameters. Boundaries, and Mother Church sets those. And that to not think of rules, because we all have rules, and rules tell us that these things are important. And people understand that. We're gonna play soccer tonight, and we understand that you can't hit the ball with your hand. Why? Because if you could, it ruined the game. If there was no boundaries, it ruined the game.
Exactly.
If there was no goals, or there was 20 goals, it would ruin the game. No, this keeps it tight, and then we can thrive.
Positive laws. Positive laws.
Yeah, that direct us. There always has to be. If you're on a mountain in Colorado, that you're hoping there's a little guardrail there.
Exactly.
Because then you go off the edge, and you just keep on going.
Father, will you leave us with a blessing, and we'll pick up the rest of these precepts next week.
All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is
now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Amen. Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we will be back next week, and we'll try to get through more than one of these. We'll see how it goes. Father had a lot to say about this precept. We'll see what happens next week right here on Armor of God Catholic Radio.